Welcome to Agency Nation Radio Podcast, powered by The Big Eye, where we ask insurance professionals to turn up the mic and share successes and challenges, stories that made them the professionals that they are today. I'm your host, Avery Moore. I'm president of ECI Insurance and a member of The Big Eye National Young Agents Committee. In honor of Women's History Month, I get to sit down with a cast of remarkable leaders and women who have created amazing careers using their voices to help other women find their space in the independent insurance agency world. I am so excited that we're having this moment with these women today. They are amazing women. We are so lucky to have them in the industry, but let's take a moment to introduce everyone who's here. I really want women to hear your origin story. Tell me a little bit about who you are, about your current role, and what made you choose the career that you have in insurance today. I'm Avery Moore. Obviously, I started with my agency in 2014. I came in as a CSR. I had been a receptionist at another agency before that, and worked as a producer for almost 10 years and bought my agency in 2021. And man, it has been a roller coaster ever since then. I wish someone had told me to hang on to my hat. I would have a little bit less gray hairs, maybe. Maybe not so much investment in the vodka industry, but it is what it is at this point. So I'm going to go to my next person. We have Patience Noah with us today, principal and owner, Patience Noah Insurance. I want to start with you. You jumped into insurance in a short time. You own your own agency. So can you tell me what made you choose insurance agency ownership and how you got here?
Yeah, Avery, thank you so much for hosting this podcast. And thank you all at Big Eye for inviting me to participate in this. So like Avery said, I started the agency. I came into insurance basically right out of college. And I was looking for something that will give me flexibility, and I'll end up making a lot of money over time. We're still working on making a lot of money part, but I ended up really liking insurance because I'm one of those people that've always loved to help people. So the passion for wanting to help people, and then also I have a passion for educating people. And I found out that insurance is something that no matter how old you are, no matter how wealthy you are, no one understands it. So whenever I get in the room, it's an opportunity for me to educate people, for me to help people understand their policies a little better. And after a few years of working in the industry on the corporate side, I worked on the agency side, and then I worked on carrier side. And I think after 6 years of being in the industry, I was a marketing rep for one of the carriers that I work with. So while I was out there, one of the conversations that we were having were, there's not enough women in the, there's not enough women owners, or there's not enough young people in insurance. We need diversity in insurance. And me being who I am, I said, at the time I was young, I was in my 20s. I said, okay, well, maybe, you know, if I start now in like 10 years, maybe I can have an agency where I can purchase more agencies for those who are retiring and don't have a contingency plan. You know, the idea sounded great in my head. But now that I'm going through the weeds, you know, and I'm going through the journey of owning an insurance agency, I'm like, oh, maybe I should have thought about it, you know, a little bit more. But it's been a great journey. I'm heading on 4 years in the business now. So it's been a great journey, and I'm here to share more experiences. And yeah, I look forward to it.
Patience, I love that you made a seat at the table for yourself, especially in such a short time. We need women that do that more and more. So thank you too for coming on the podcast today. Michelle Middleton is our next guest. She is president at Berkley Mid-Atlantic Insurance Group. And correct me if I'm wrong, you've worked your way through the carrier side of the industry. So can you share your origin story with us? How did you land a career in insurance, and how are you here today?
Yes, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, Avery. I did start my career as a trainee in a national carrier as a multi-line underwriter in commercial lines. And I loved the job opportunity right at the interview stage because it allowed for so many different skill sets to be used in the course of business. And when I learned that, you know, insurance was basically fueling commerce and the ability for us to provide solutions to help keep the doors of small businesses open, it felt like I was actually doing something positive for, you know, the advancement of, you know, commerce and business in the United States. I also found it really interesting that one of my interview questions was, how would I bring parrots across from Costa Rica to the United States? And I thought, wow, you know, I'm going to love this career if it's that kind of diverse challenges every day. And so selling solutions to our agents and customers, along with understanding how things are made and keeping the doors open of businesses, has really been something incredibly satisfying and thrilling for me at the same time. So I've loved being part of the industry for the last 35 years.
Well, you have to tell us now, how did you say you would get the parrots here?
Basically, you have to underwrite the packaging and the feeding and the temperature and whether they were healthy to begin with and who's going to get them on the other side once they come off the plane. So it was all very fun. It was a very fun interview and something I talk about today, just to express the analytical skills that are needed to really be, you know, a great underwriter.
Yes, you would be a good underwriter. If you were an agent, you would have said you would have smuggled them in and done anything to
get it done. Exactly.
You're a good underwriter, I can tell. And then our third guest is Jamie Bowden. She is currently the chair of New Women in Insurance Committee at the Utah Insurance Agents. She's also an insurance career coach with Agents United. Jamie, you know the drill by now. Tell us how insurance was right for you and how you got started.
Okay. I got started in the insurance world because I had been running fast food restaurants for 12 years, had 4 kids in 4.5 years, and decided I need to figure out how to be a mom and not like buried into my work, basically. So I came out from being a manager into insurance and started out just as an executive secretary at an office. And very quickly after being an executive secretary, I started being their trainer and trained agents how to pass the state test and then how to quote and how to process policies. So I did that for 3 years and then basically went from doing all the training to basically doing all the quoting and processing, and then found my current agency the group that I'm with right now is Agents United. I've been with them for 10 years. So 15 years total in the industry. And today I basically get to train everything, marketing, quoting, management systems, and sales, all of the things. And I get to watch agents go from brand newbies to being successful, as well as those that are already in the industry. I get to help them with processes and procedures with new producers, CSRs, and really get to kind of dive in with the women that are in the agency and not always just the owners. And so it's super satisfying to me, which is the reason why I love insurance, is because it's ever changing. And so my job is never the same. I basically get to learn all the new things and pass that on, because insurance changes on a daily, and especially in this market.
It really does. But to have someone like you there that knows all the ins and outs of it, but can also build up our people, I think is so crucial, especially with how important culture is today. So you're needed in this industry for sure. Wanted to dive in a little bit on this. So we are celebrating, obviously, National Women's Month, and it's a big deal. Standing here, I would say that we're 4 highly successful women. Kudos to us. Give yourself like a round of applause. Good job. But new research from Trusted Choice, which is the national brand for independent agent members of the Big I, states that 80% of women are responsible for the financial planning and the decision making in their household, including purchasing their personal lines insurance, such as their home, autos, renters, umbrella, whatever it is. And of these women, 72% would be more inclined to purchase insurance if a woman presented the policy offerings. Do you think that's true? How do you feel buying from women? And I'm curious, this could be a loaded question or not, because I have mixed feelings. And so I think it's very interesting.
I'll take that. I think, you know, it's not something that I've paid attention to. But then also most of what I do, my agency, most of what we do is we focus on business owners. Like we work with business owners. So I don't know if that is accurate in my world. Maybe someone who does more of personal lines, that's something that, but I have not paid attention to that. It's definitely something that I have to pay more attention to.
Mm-hmm. I think that people are more inclined to buy from women because women tend to be their natural nurturers. And so they tend to educate, they tend to ask the questions, they tend to want to understand. And if they're communicating with another woman in the household, typically they can connect because they have something in common with them. And so they tend to connect and then they build a relationship. And most of us know that our entire industry is all about relationship.
Yeah, agreed. 100%.
I would tend to add that it gender is not what people are looking at or for. I think they're looking for specific characteristics like listening, empathy, drive to create solutions, common passions, you know, hard work, trustworthiness. So I see my counselors, if you will, whether it's insurance or financial, embodying these types of characteristics. Yeah. And I don't necessarily really attribute them to a particular gender. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. You know, when I started as a producer, I really thought my niche would be women-owned businesses. I was like, I am a woman figuring this out. And they just didn't come to me. And so for a long time, it was like, okay, like maybe it's Mean Girl World. We've all heard of it. And I had to realize very quickly that women are so smart and so intelligent that my communication style wasn't lending itself to women. It was lending itself to different type of business owners. And so that's drastically changed in it. And now, honestly, I love my favorite is working with female owned businesses.
And also too, they're talking about personal lines, right? Most women run their households, you know, paying of bills and things like that. So it would make more sense why. And then also, if you think about running a household, when it comes to the insurance aspect of it, especially if we're focusing on the last 5 years with what's been going on with the industry and things like that, right? More women, a woman will want to understand more of the industry. She's looking for ways to save money and all of these things. So it will make sense why maybe a woman will want to connect with a woman more that's on the other side of the phone call. Because again, how can I understand this thing so that I can make better decisions for my household is what I would think about.
Yeah. I think it's interesting too. The Big Eye Agency Universe study, only 66% of agencies have at least one non-principal women producer. And this study is going back out into the field. So we're going to see how it's going to play out in 2024. But that lends me to wonder, what do you think the unique value defined women brings in the insurance process? And I'm probably going to direct this at patients because you're an agency owner. And so you know what we're dealing with on this front right now.
Mm-hmm. So I think being a woman and, owning an agency, I think I've gotten to the role. You got to think about when you first get started, you're so nervous about the whole process of running an agency, you're stressed out, you're running multiple hats and things like that. Right. So technically you don't really know the type of leader you are, I would say like the first 3 to 4 years, because you're just trying to like stay above water. But once you pass that process, you get to the place where you're like, okay, I want to focus more on building a more profitable agency or a stronger team for my agency. Now, at least I'm speaking for me now, what I'm learning now is, okay, how can I bring the fact that I'm a woman into this, right? And I've tend to be a little bit more softer and a little bit more nurturing because I do have that sales background. And, you know, when you have that sales background, you have this thing like, okay, get this done, let's get it done, like boom, 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 right? And also I'm finding out that everyone in my agency or everybody who works for me, their temperaments are different, right? There might be somebody that I'm like, okay, you know, let's do the go, 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 right? And then there's somebody that I need to communicate with on a more softer side. I had an employee last year where I had to be a little bit more softer with her because, you know, certain way you talk to her, boom, she's ready to cry.
Been there, I get it.
She's ready to cry. You know, every little thing, tears are dropping from her eyes. I'm like, girl, like, what are you crying about? But I think now, and the more experience I get as an agency owner, it's really learning the different personalities that I'm dealing with, right? And managing them per their personality. And I think now I think of myself in a way, I'm like, okay, I need to be their mother in some way. I need to be their boss. And then I need to be their mother because I feel like people who are working for me, I have to care about their well-being. Not only do I have to worry about them producing. So there's just multiple things that comes along with it. But the skills that we have as being the mother and being a wife, you know, skills that we have at home, we can sort of transfer those skills into running an agency that will help us be empathetic, compassionate as we're dealing with people. Because I've worked for male agency owners. And to be quite honest with you, the way a male talked to you, like back then when a male owner was talking to you, like, oh, you're allowed to say that. But I think as a female owner, you know, you have to soften things a little bit more. And I think there's just something in your heart, for me at least, there's something in my heart that tend to mother my people a little bit more than the usual agency owner.
It's true. I think you have to manage people differently on it. Michelle and Jamie, I'm curious. Y'all both have experience specifically working with people. And then Michelle, with 35 years, you've seen the gambit of the industry change. What have you seen in the past, or what do you think we can do to bring more women to the industry?
I think the industry has to be presented as exciting opportunities in diverse roles, with the ability to provide people purpose. Right. I think that's what everybody's looking for post pandemic, is they want to find some purpose in what they're doing. It's not just a paycheck. We all need a paycheck, but we want to channel our energy into something that seems to have some attributes around a purpose for society. And if we can present it that way, I think it draws in more people and of course, more women as part of that population of people.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Nobody wants to wake up without having anything that they want to do, like go, that drives them every single day. Jamie, what about you?
I think we need to be able to provide more equality as far as pay, give women or men flexibility to work so that we can like schedule around their families. That was one of the things that brought me to the agency side of things, was that it gave me the flexibility to be a mom. And so I think it helps us if we can create a safe space to really have them like have open door policy within the agencies. I feel like especially women will gravitate to that when they feel that. And I think women are just loyal employees when they're treated right. Mm-hmm. But specifically being able to provide some kind of opportunity where if they need to work from home, or, and in this day and age after the pandemic, right, there's a lot of that opportunity there, but also being in an office, because I think getting out of the home and being able to collaborate with other employees within the office is a huge thing to be able to do as well. So
I agree 100% on it. I know with my agency, when I bought it, I got full look at the financials and I found out that I was making 60 cents to the dollar, which is the stereotypical of what women are paid. And it was shocking because I never felt that. I never felt mistreated. I loved my job. Obviously I bought the agency, but it definitely gave me a different perspective on things. And I know women feel it a lot in our industry as well. So
According to the State of Women in Independent Insurance Agencies, women make up only 26% of agency principals or owners, but over 75% of the frontline staff. So what do you think is standing in the way of more women taking on leadership roles in agencies? And what are some of the challenges that you faced or you've seen other women in general face in the industry? How do we overcome it? This is like the loaded question, right? Please like tell me how to solve world peace.
Hey, I'll start with this one. I think a lot of women lack self-confidence to take the lead and to step up to the plate. Most of us have been successful in this industry, but have most of us that have been successful in this industry have a really good male figure who has built us up.
True. I think I can say for myself, I had a wonderful, I've had multiple male mentors. Even when my mentor died, like more men stepped in and took me under their wing, which I can't say enough thank you to Joe and Mike if they listen to this. So what else, guys? What are some other challenges you feel like women might face in our industry and solutions that you might have?
I think there's a fear of selling. You know, it almost sometimes sounds like a dirty word, right? That, you know, women don't run out and get into, you know, selling insurance. And that to me, it was a little bit of a hurdle. I feel like we in commercial insurance or we're consulting with people trying to keep their businesses in business, right? Should there be some terrible loss that they have? And so the selling is not what we might know of, you know, or think of when we see some other people making cold calls or really doing elaborate widget sales. You know, they need to manage in volume. This is more relationship oriented than people recognize. And so if we could at least express that in our recruiting efforts of people and women in particular, that it is a relationship driven business. How many times have we heard that? And then that translates into how you sell the programs and the solutions that are being created for your customers, which really makes that to me seems to make a difference in hooking people into the industry.
Well, and don't you think with like a woman, we're more naturally nurturers and caretakers in it. And it lends itself really, really well to this industry in a lot of the jobs, because we do a lot of that. And so I think you're exactly, you hit the nail on the head with what you said.
And I think also the fear of starting too do prevent a lot of women from really taking that step forward. And I think sometimes what we do sometimes as women, we talk ourselves out of things before we even get started. Me, myself, I tell people that I think the fear of starting was so strong for me that once I got over that fear, all I had to do was start. I think everybody who is thinking about starting an agency or have thought about it, all you have to do is just get over that fear, that what if, you know, that what if we think about all the things that could go wrong. And yes, there is a lot of things that could go wrong, but what about the things that could go right, right? And think about, focus on the things that could go right. And also think that no matter what happens in our industry, it's always something, it's fixable. Most of what happens in insurance are things that you can fix. So don't allow the fear of what if I get started and it doesn't succeed, or what if nobody buys from me? What if nobody, like, what if, like, just tell that side of you to be calm, be quiet, and just get started. The rest you can figure it out along the way. Yeah.
It's true. I heard a statistic that said something along the lines of, for a female to take a new role, she has to feel 60 to 70% confident in taking that role, whereas a male only has to feel 30% confident. And I know it's like, okay, man, if they're going to be ballsy, I can be ballsy too. And so when I bought my agency and was borrowing massive amounts of money, that was literally what I had to mantra to myself over and over, because the head trash was so real. Even I just left my business coach. Even today, I was sitting there going, I feel like I'm failing, Katie.
I don't know if I'm doing a good job. And she was like, Avery, like, look at your numbers. The numbers don't lie. You're doing fine. It's just that innate head trash that we have sometimes. And it might just be also as you grow, you get better and better. So I'm in my mid 30s. So I'm hoping as I get older, maybe it'll get better. Tell me it does.
I don't know that it does. I think ultimately we have to be strong enough and confident enough that we're not listening to the head trash, as you suggest, right? That speaking, that self-speak, it has to become kinder, right? You have to take steps to be more self-positive, right? And even if you have to overtly print it or write it, you know, to be more positive. So your brain is not stormed with the negative or the doubt. It's flush with really great, positive, powerful insights, right? That's what has to keep you going. Success is easy, right? It's the fear of failure that gets really hard. Yes. And it keeps you from trying. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's where we've got to be able to feel more confident to just jump off and know that you're going to work really hard. And if you start to fail, you're going to pivot and you're going to change something and you're going to embody a lot of courage to do something different, try something different in order to get that sale or to bring that culture along or to get those people into the winner's circle, whatever that means for you and your company or your agency.
Yeah. What is that called? Like I have not failed. I have simply found 1,000 ways that did not work or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think also years ago when I first started, I went to one of the gentlemen that was supposed to be mentoring me when I first opened my agency. And I told him, I was like, you know, as a female business owner, like, how do you men do it? And one of the things that he told me was, I don't think of myself as a man, as a male business owner. I just think of myself as a business owner, right? So I think sometimes we try to put so much limitation on ourselves, right? By saying, oh, I'm a female, I'm doing this, or I'm, you know, don't limit yourself. At the end of the day, you consider yourself as a business owner. Whatever deals you make, whatever decisions you make, whatever hard decisions you make, it's not because you're a female, that's why you're making that decision. It's because you're a business owner, that's why you're making that decision, right? And you're making a decision that eventually is going to serve the best interest of your business. So I think what I would tell women that are looking to get into this space, yes, I know for many years, men have represented this space, right? Agency owners have been male. But I think their success was not because they were men. Their success, it was because they saw themselves as business owners and they went after the clients that they wanted to go after, right? And they never dwell on their failures if they were one along the way. Like Michelle said, if you do fail along the way, it's part of the journey. You know, don't be afraid of it. Pivot and just keep it moving.
It's true. Which that leads in to my next question. And we had kind of started diving into it. I was curious, was there a pivotal moment in your career that either pushed or empowered you to take a big, scary step or create that goal that you feel like has really contributed to a lot of your success?
I think my current bosses now made me get out of my comfort zone, taught me that it was a safe place to be out of my comfort zone. I am not, quote, public speaking type of person. I'm very outgoing and I get along with a lot of people. Being in the offices is super fun for me. I love that. But I remember as soon as I was hired, my first day was at a convention with all of our agents and I had to get up on stage. And that was like, whoa, hold on. I don't want to be in front of 125 people. That's not okay for me. But they taught me that I'm good at what I do and that being up on that stage, like it's able to, like, I'm able to reach more people in one moment than I do all year long, you know, while I'm in the offices. And so for me, I think that was probably my most pivotal moment. And definitely learning to get out of your comfort zone is going to be a huge pivot to anything if you want to reach a goal.
Yeah. It's so uncomfortable though.
Amen to that. It is. For sure. And teaching somebody to do that, I think this goes back to what Michelle was saying, right? Like if you want to fail, you're going to fail. This goes back to getting out of your comfort zone is how you will be successful. And so to me, that is the hardest thing for me to do, but every time I do it, I find myself on a whole new level.
It's true. It's the first step to growth.
Yep.
So for me last year, I had attended this cohort program by Goldman Sachs. And I think all along as a business owner, you get to a certain stage in your business. I think when you, like I said earlier, when you first get started, you're so overwhelmed. You're just trying to focus on one aspect of your business, which is the selling aspect. And then you get to, it all depends on your background too, right? But I've always been in sales in the insurance side. So when I came in, I've always been focused on the sales side and sales and marketing. But there were other areas in my business that I needed to focus on as well. And being a part of that program allowed me to think of myself as a CEO and not just, you know, just a business owner or someone who's working in their business, right? But someone who now I've got into the space that I need to work on my business and I need to think of my business holistically, where I'm thinking of it 5, 6, 7, 10, 20 years down the line, right? Which necessarily I wasn't doing before. And it's because I didn't have that business background where, you know, I know this person who owns a business or how to run a business, which I think everyone is different and every industry is different. So being a part of that program really allowed me to sit back and figure out, okay, what are the different areas of my business and what do I need to do to have a good handle on this business so that as I'm scaling, you know, or as I'm bringing new people on board, they are coming and picking up the pieces and it doesn't feel lost, right? They don't feel lost. And I think that was really important for me to really pause, slow down, and really analyze what's going on in my business.
It's true. What do they say? We need to be working on our business, not in our business.
Correct. Yep.
Michelle, what about you?
Yeah, I think this some of the scariest things, you know, for me were really challenging myself to get into the financial analysis of a big carrier. Mm. And the way I felt somewhat inadequate, right? I'd never been a CFO. I'd never really had an accounting background. I was a political science major. It was all about writing and speaking and, you know, presenting and selling, if you will, a point of view. And so the scariest part taking over the presidency role at Berkley is you are accountable for the P&L of a big company, and you have to understand everything from an actuarial science perspective through the financial analysis all the way out to, aggregated commissions and things like this. And it's that to me was an extremely challenging area to not understand, but to really get my head around at scale. And the only thing I could say is that you build up to that, right? It's product line management and then it's company management. So you're kind of building up to it, mm-hmm. But having the extreme ownership of the results at the end of the day is terrifying, right? But that's what we do. We show up every day and we try to create great results for our shareholders. And that was probably the biggest challenge for me was that financial modeling piece.
Well, the Berkley companies come with, at least from the agent side, this is what I've always told, is comes with a certain stipulation because they want a certain financial aspect and it holds themselves to a very high standard for Mr. Berkley. Like I have always heard that. And so yes. It's a level of excellence. So I can only imagine going into that. And huge kudos to you, because it's a big deal. Like, it's a notoriously good reputation that Berkeley companies have. And so walking in and saying, I'm going to learn all the financial aspects when it's a very core value for them is a big deal.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. And it's good to know the face behind it too now.
I'm just one of many, but yes, it comes with extreme accountability and responsibility for the capital that's invested. And that to me was a big leap, you know, still learning.
Awesome. Well, I'm curious too, as we're all women that have been brought into this space, I think by someone, either whether you fell in it or someone gave you a hand and reached you up, how do we empower each other to take up space, put a seat at the table for someone else? Or what was the best piece of advice you'd ever been given in order to make a leap or go into a bigger role?
I've been lucky to have really a fantastic succession of bosses in my career. And they've all been men, you know, and they have taught me from the get-go that I was valued. They, by expressing to me, you know, they were taking time to explain things, to invest in me, as simple as let's learn the numbers from these MIS reports to, you know, let's talk about big strategic picture. This is where the gaps are that I need you to fill in for me. And, you know, they gave me opportunities to grow and lead and utilize my skill sets, even in areas that I didn't have my lens focused on. And that is something that I want to be known for, right? I want to be able to walk away and graduate from the industry. And people say that kind of thing about me, right? And every day I challenge myself to be a little bit better.
You're going to have mentor requests out the wazoo in the email when this podcast.
Oh, I don't know. But I mean, it's hard to do. It's easy to say, but it's hard to do on a daily basis, day in, day out. Every third day I fail, right? And I just have to go back and apologize and say, let's reboot. I'm sorry. Let's try that over.
I think following that, Michelle, I think for me as well, I've had so many amazing mentors. My boss is always encouraging me to do the next good, you know, the next thing, learn the next thing to move me on in my career. But I think for me, being a coach, and I physically get to go into the offices and I get to train and I get to really dive in and teach the CSR how to become the manager and the manager on how to own their own agency, right? And kind of be able to be a part of that. I think one of the things is giving them an opportunity to intertwine with other people in their section. So, you know, we have a lot of masterminds or women in insurance, right? Part of the Big Eye Women in Insurance is we are all inclusive with everybody, the CSRs, the owners, the managers, whatever, and them getting to come in all together and have conversation about what they do and how they do it and collaborate with each other on what I can do better and learn from others in the industry. To me, that is like going to bring that next group up. And it's going to take the ones from the top to feel comfortable to be like, oh, I can pass this off. Giving them the opportunity to do something. Sometimes we are, I don't know what you want to call it. Like we like to control the things that we're really good at. And then there's other people that come along. And for me, my job got busier and busier, the more agencies we had. And what happens is I was like, oh, I was doing commissions. Well, I don't really have time to do commissions anymore, so I have to pass that on. But it's kind of been my baby, right? So handing that off to somebody and teaching somebody else how to do that job is a really great feeling when they're successful in it, but it is really hard to let go at the beginning, right?
No one says how hard delegation is. And to move up, like, you got to let go. It's so hard.
Yes. That's a good point, Avery.
It is so hard. It's like giving your kids the paintbrush and asking them to paint the room. And, you know, you're like, ooh, I don't know if I trust them to do this. Right? And you want to just do it yourself because you don't quite trust that they're going to do it the way you want it done. But if you can step back and take the time to explain things and teach and coach, ultimately, you know, everybody's thriving, right? And they're really creating the outcomes you want them to create and hope they would create. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of fits and starts.
It's true. On the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast, he says that if someone can do 60% or do it to the level of 60% the way you could do it, give it up. Which like sounds easy in theory, but like 60% is still like a D. So
yeah.
Such a good point.
Very hard.
So for me, actually, it's funny that we said that we're talking about this because I had an incident. I think it was either late last week or earlier this week. I have this one client. This client has made me cry before when I first started. I mean, he could just be he's a little intense. And one of the things that I'm doing with one of my CSRs is once we write the policy, I'm trying to get her comfortable to, you know, talk to clients. And I'm trying to get clients comfortable talking to, you know, the CSRs and people that I'm hiring to do the job. You know, it's not, you know, I'm trying to wean people off of talking to patients all the time. And his policy was written and something didn't go right. And I said, you know, I gave him a call and explained this is what happened and coaching her. And she called him. The conversation was a disaster. I know how he is. So he called me, oh, I can't believe it, X, Y, and Z. And she told me about how my CSR hung up on him and things like that. So, and mind you, I've had an experience with this guy 2 years earlier. So I already know the type of person he is. So I just, you know, assure him that I'll handle it, apologized. And I called my CSR. I said, you know, this is the report that I got, but I want this to be a coaching moment. Because we will have clients like him, because what I'm trying to do is coach her to feel comfortable to having conversations like these with clients like these. And in situations like that, how do you calm them down to sort of make them your best friend in the long run, right? Because that's what this gentleman, he and I, we ended up doing. So I'm trying to teach her and coach her that, you know, situations like these, this is what you do. And it's taken a lot over the years because as agency owners, it's like, okay, do I trust this person to come and do it the way that I'm doing it, right? And as you grow, you have to trust other people to come on and take that responsibility. And it's up to you as the leader to create those processes, right? And give those trainings that will allow them to do things the way that you do or whatever standard you set in your agency. And then also trust that they too will bring their own unique perspective, right? To add into your organization to build on what you've built as well. But it is tough. And I think for me, another thing that I do to encourage other women in this industry is not being afraid to tell my story. I know most of us women, we're afraid to tell our stories. We're afraid because we don't want to seem like we're showing off. But I'm getting more comfortable with telling my story so I can encourage young women and let them know that this is an industry that I can thrive in and I can succeed in. And I'm glad that Avery, you know, we're both in our mid-30s, you know, trying to make this thing work. So hopefully we can connect after this. Love to see young women in that are being independent agency owner because it's not easy. And it's great to see another young face in the room.
It is. I don't think I ever have actually met another female principal that is my age. And you probably get it the same time. It's like, oh, you're so young to own an agency. And I'm like, I've been doing it for a hot minute now. So I used to be a little bit younger and this industry is really adding to the wrinkles sometimes, but I love it. As we're probably going to have a high female audience, I want this to be a moment that women, especially that are looking to maybe get to our position as female agency owners or underwriters looking to be Michelle one day and the president of a company or Jamie, where she gets to basically mentor and love on her people. What is, how can women best position themselves for leadership? Or what are some of the qualities that you have seen in people that are the best traits of them that you would say like embody this?
I'm going to say my number one thing as I work, and the women especially that I've noticed that have come up in the ranks. I mean, we started with two women owners and we are up to 22 women owners in the last 10 years. That's huge.
That's so cool.
And one of the things that I notice in anybody that's moving up in the ranks or really wanting to move forward in their position is that they're constantly learning and they're building themselves a base of like understanding and becoming an expert in the thing that they love. So like for me, my thing that was teaching. So I learned how to train. I learned all of the ins and outs of all the things, quoting, all the things, management. I started taking sales seminars, marketing seminars, all of the things, right? I became an expert in the thing that I loved inside of my industry. So I think that that's the number one thing that a lot of females can move up and get noticed if they just will take the time to know that like the more you learn, you can never learn enough. And the more you learn and educate yourself within the industry and within the specific thing that you love, that to me is what I watch and see women move from one step to the next because they're becoming noticeable within the agency and excelling in what they're doing because it's the passion in that specific thing that they love.
Awesome. I'm curious, since we're going into this too, and we're in leadership now, and we're going to have some people who are listening to this that might not be in insurance. What do you wish you knew when you started? I have like a 1,000 thing list that I could go off of. Yeah.
Build relationships with men in leadership roles and well, not even just men, just anybody in a leadership role. And know that like, and follow in their footsteps, allow yourself to be mentored by somebody ahead of you. That's what I wish I would have known.
I think who you work for matters.
Amen.
So sure. You choose wisely, the company, the person that you work directly for, you want to align your values and your passions to something. And of course you want it to be positive and based on a foundation of integrity. So, you know, to that younger self, you want to say, make sure you choose wisely.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that, Michelle. Agree yeah. Wholeheartedly.
I preach on that all the time. And in high school, I was not a very kind person. And then I got humbled greatly and it completely radically changed who I was. But there's people that from 18 years ago still know that 15-year-old, which let's all give everybody a little bit of grace, but who you are haunts you. And so be very careful of your choices, I would say over and over and over.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, the insurance world is a small world. That's one thing I keep reminding myself, especially in New England. And then also my name is a very unique name. you are not finding another Patience Noah anywhere, anytime soon. So I always keep that in mind that, you know, just be careful and don't burn any bridges, you know, and just make sure that whatever you do it with the purest intention, right? Also, don't be afraid. Like, don't be afraid. And another thing I just thought about. If you have that thing of jack of all trades, master of none, as an agency owner, that sometimes is not the best, like it's just not the best thing. So as an agency owner, you just have to choose certain things to perfect at a time versus mm-hmm. trying to perfect everything all at once, which mm-hmm. is something that, you know, when I started, I wanted to do everything all at once. And then I just got burnt out real fast. And then I was like, well, okay, let's go back to the drawing board. And so if you're a jack of all trades, if you want to come into the agency owner space, you know, bring that down a little bit, you know, choose one thing at a time to focus on. Yeah.
You know, it's so crazy. Whenever I was trying to buy the agency, I got turned down by 8 banks. And I was crying outside the curb on like after the last one had told me no. And there was nothing that was going to get in the way of me buying. It was my family agency. And I just remember thinking, like, there is not a single problem in this world that someone hasn't figured out before me. And if they can figure it out, so can I. And so I think all women coming into this industry, you have this moment of self-doubt, but you can figure it out. Our phone system crashed today. I can figure out how to find a new phone system. I swear that's the bottom of my problem. So, I mean, if you come to this industry, you can figure it out. If I can, I'm not the smartest person in the room. Definitely you can. So,
well, you should though, right? That's what I keep telling myself. Yeah. Right? And those are the things that we tell ourselves, mm-hmm. right? It's like putting that out there, right? And I think also we got to be, you know, we have to say nice things to ourselves too, right? That's another thing that I realized coming into this. If you're one of those people, you make comments like, I'm not the smartest person in the room. I'm not like, no, you are in that room because you're one of the smartest people, right? And if you were not, you wouldn't be there, right? You're running an agency is because you're smart. That's why you're running an agency, right?
But I'll do it is I never want to be the smartest person in the room because I always want to like work up to where people are much smarter than me. That way I can rise to the occasion. You are equivalent of the five people you hang around with. And so I don't mean that as a diss. I mean that as okay. I always want to be lower on the totem pole. I want to hire smarter people than me because it makes me go to the next level too. Otherwise you just get stagnant.
Yeah.
I love it.
Good. Get on that evolution.
Yeah. So one of the great things about our careers is flexibility, but with that flexibility, you also need a little bit of discipline to hold your boundaries and create some meaningful and well-loved life, balance. You know, we don't want to work to die. How do you as women with full lives keep things on track? So are there any strategies you have in place to ensure you're prioritizing your family health and your fun?
Well, so when you're an agency owner, it's, I don't know about those who are in high level leadership, like Michelle, but I would talk about it from a perspective of someone who's just building an agency. And that work-life balance or that balance is a little bit muddy in the beginning. I'm not gonna lie. And I struggled with that the first few years. I think it's just this year that I'm very, really adamant about not responding to text messages or emails on Sundays and on Saturdays after certain hours. And then also being mindful of if my mom wants to spend time with me. My mom is retired now. She lives up the street from me and I am her chauffeur for basically everything that she needs. Mm-hmm. So it's really trying to be present for her. And when I'm with her, trying to be present and then also listening to my body. I have this thing where my eyes start to twitch. So I know now when my eyes twitching, that's my cue that I need to sleep. And I would take a weekend off and literally disconnect from everything and everyone and sleep. And I'm a sleeper. I could sleep for 12 hours if I want to. And I am not afraid to say that. I'm not ashamed of it. So once I get to that point where I'm like, okay, I need to sleep, I do that. And I've been a lot better at being intentional about it this year than previous years.
Yeah. I think listening to our bodies, patients, I think that's a really, really good advice because our bodies are really good at speaking to us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we really, truly just need to give ourselves a hot minute to take a breath, right? I think for me, that work-life balance for me has been, I have been truly blessed because I came from a position where I could turn it off at the beginning because I was as an executive secretary, it was like kind of that Monday through Saturday. But the whole reason I got into the industry was because my children were between the ages of like 7 and 12. And so they were all in the process of getting ready to do sports and do all of the things, right? I needed my weekends and my nights to be chauffeur. To be mom. And so for me, I think nowadays my children are all adults. I have grandbabies, but I really, really make it a point to really turn it off when I am specifically spending time with my children. for, you know, whatever that looks like, my family, dinners, whatever that is, I specifically turn it off so that I can give my attention to who's ever in front of me and dive in and live in the moment. And I do the same thing when I'm at work. My work balance, no, like my kids love to FaceTime me. But one of the things is that when I'm at work, they know if they need to call me, they can, but work is work. And I'm going to dive in and I'm going to do my best when I'm here because I want to be able to give you my attention when I'm not here. And in order to balance that, I have to give the same respect to my job as I do to my home life.
It's true.
I completely agree with that. I think the same respect that you give to your job, you have to give to your spouse or your partner or your children when you get home, right? And that's hard to do when we have phones and iPads and laptops open all the time. So I find it best to really almost leave the briefcase in the car, come in, hi, honey, how was your day? Have a glass of wine together, sit down, look face to face at each other, listen to their day before you start spilling out all of your challenges of the day. Not that it always goes that well. Sometimes I spill it out before I sit down, but there needs to be a separation for a moment to, you know, embrace life. Travel, right, also helps, you know, vacations help. Seeing your kids, you know, successes, you know, help get you into a better zone. Mm-hmm. And you'll be amazed how you get refreshed from that. And you can come back more creative and innovative and have all kinds of cool ideas of things that can be put into your work life. So I think it's really important to be able to figure out how to disconnect.
Yeah.
Michelle, you said something earlier, it's so important where you're at. And I think coming from two different cultures now, the culture that our former principal has was every vacation was guilt-ridden. You were going to pay for being out of town. And he ended up passing away, not doing a lot of the things because he worked just an insane amount. Whereas the culture we have now is my entire staff knows, like, we're not saving lives here. I want you to work really hard at your job. But when you're not at your job, like, this is not your priority. Go do it. And so you put it on the calendar, you book it, you take the trip because life is short. I think it's the one thing I have. And so with women, I would just encourage you, put it on the calendar, make it happen, and then enjoy it and do it guilt-free because you get time off. You don't do anyone any good if you're not fully recharged.
Yeah.
So I've fired a lot of questions at y'all today, and thank you so much for your insight and your experience and sharing that with me. And this might be one of my favorite tidbits because I'm going to make my long list of the next things that are on my list, but are there any good podcasts or books that you would recommend to the people listening today?
I have a couple. Two of my favorite books, and I re-listen to them over and over again, is Radical Confidence by Lisa Bilou. And then Dare to Lead by Brené Brown.
Mm, yes.
And so Brené Brown also has a podcast, and she does amazing on her podcast as well. I think it kind of came and went a little bit, but she does amazing. Like, I would read every book she has ever done. I love everything that she's all about, leadership and how to get out of your comfort zone. She talks a lot about vulnerability and how to really mine yourself inside of that, in your work balance, as well as your, you know, personal life balance and things like that. So those are my two favorites. I have a whole list of ones, but those are my two favorites.
Awesome. For me, what I've been taking interest to lately is two young men. They have a podcast called Earn Your Leisure. I came across them at some point last year, and they've been popping up on my YouTube feed. So I've been listening to them. So basically, they just give different advice on, you know, investments and, you know, where you should put your money and things like that. So they're the ones that I've been listening to. As far as books go, I haven't read a good book in a long time. So I have don't have any recommendations for any books right now. Sometimes I'm really weird when it comes to these things where it's like my mind is just at this zoning stage right now. But hopefully I'll start making time for reading soon. It's not an excuse. So, but no good book recommendation right now. Sorry, y'all.
There are a couple of books we have here at Berkeley, a Culture of Extreme Ownership. So that is a book, Extreme Ownership, that I would highly recommend. And one of the pivotal statements in that book is there are no bad teams. Mm. You know, there are only bad leaders. Yes. So it's a real gut check when you talk about extreme ownership. You don't just like gloss over it. I mean, that's like, whoa. All right, if this isn't working, look at yourself first. So that was pretty powerful. I love New Heights with Travis and Jason Kelsey. If you just want something funny to watch, I mean, I think that's a blast to watch and listen to. An HBR on strategy is always awesome with different topics every couple of days. So
Jocko on Extreme Ownership really puts life in perspective.
Like, oh, sure.
Like, yeah. Navy SEAL stuff. And then you're like, I can lead my team today. I can absolutely do it if he can survive that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's insurance.
Yeah. You know? It's good.
Not a life or death situation.
I would probably highly encourage for any woman in there, because I feel like the art of hard conversations is one of the most crucial skills you can develop, is radical candor. We lead by it with our team because we believe that every confrontation can be a conversation, and we want them to work through it, because if you can't work through that, you're never going to build relationships. And then The Culture Code is a phenomenal one around building a culture that you want within your organization, and has highly changed the way that I think about my culture within it. So I want to thank each and every one of you for coming today and giving your time. I know that we're very busy and this market does not lend to a lot of free time right now. So again, also thank you for sharing your stories. You do not have to do this. It is volunteer, absolutely. And getting to take and put out into the world years and years of experience, we greatly appreciate. But thank you for tuning into this edition of Agency Nation Radio, powered by the Big Eye and Trusted Choice. If you have enjoyed today's podcast, which I hope you did, make sure to hit that subscribe button and give us 5 stars or leave us a review. And if you have a story for Agency Nation Radio, contact us at hello@agencynation.com.